Hey, yeah, this song goes out to D-Boy, the first MC killed for Jesus in hip-hop. Word up, in 91 in Texas, they murdered him. Cause through MCing, he was taking a youth from the gangs and bringing them to Christ. So yo, D-Boy, this is for you, baby. Yo, see you at the resurrection.
We gon' walk this walk till the day we die. We gon' talk this talk till he split the sky. We gon' praise his name with our hands up high. What you all about? Jesus, my reply. We gon' walk this walk till the day we die. We gon' talk this talk till he split the sky. We gon' praise his name with our hands up high. What you all about?
Jesus.
You die for the ice, but I'm ready to die for Christ. Tell the devil to his face.
We just want to say thank you, Lord, so much for this morning, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, Lord, to your people. Thank you, Father, for the way, Lord, that you watch over, Lord God, those that are yours, those that are called according to your purpose, those that are known by your name, Father God. Lord, it is your name, Lord God, that brings deliverance. It's your name, Lord God, by which nations are laid low. It's your name by which, Lord, individuals are raised up, and those that are on the way, Lord, to destruction are saved, Father God. And Lord, just this day, Lord God, we want to thank you for that beautiful testimony, Lord, about Kumari. And Lord, we just pray for her right now, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray a wall of fire and protection, Lord, by your Holy Spirit around her, Father. We pray, Lord God, for a complete and total deliverance, Lord God, in her life, Lord. Lord, that there would be no lingering spirits of the enemy, nothing, Father God, of the devil that would come near her. But in Jesus' name right now, Lord, we seal her unto you, Father. And Lord, we break every demonic witchcraft curse that would seek to come back, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that it would be gone and never, ever visit her home again. Lord, we pray, Lord God, for the continued work in her life, Lord. And we thank you for her, Lord God, and for her faithfulness and obedience to you. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the way that you watch over and protect, Lord God, this work, Lord God, this work of your hands. So, Lord, this morning, Father God, we just have so many testimonies, Lord God. We have so many just places, Lord, where we can see your faithfulness, your goodness, Lord God, your care for your people, Lord. And so we just want to say with one heart and one voice, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. And Lord, this morning, Father God, as we would open up your word, Father, as we would spend time in your truth, Father, we pray, Lord God, that your truth would go forward, Lord. Lord, we are people of truth. Lord, we are called to be people of light, Lord God, of your hope, Lord God, of your life in this world, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that in ourselves we are nothing, but in you, Lord, we are powerful. In you, Lord God, we are redeemed. In you, Lord God, we are new creations. So, Lord, right now, Father, I get out of the way and I allow the new creation, the new man, Father, Christ Jesus in me, the hope of glory, Christ Jesus in us, the hope of glory, to go forward, Father God, and to speak your word and your truth, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, for this morning, Father, Lord, that everything that you desire would go forward, nothing that you don't, Lord. And, Lord, we bind every demonic hindering spirit, Lord God, and we cast it out. And, Lord, we just allow for the rest and the peace of your Holy Spirit in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We serve a very, very cool God. What's the singular word for cool? Okay, so we serve a very, very cool God, a very Nehemiah. Because I like God. I really like God. You know, a lot of people like, you know, oh, I love God. There's family members that you love, but you may not like them very much. You love them because you're supposed to. You love them because you have to. But I like God. I like the way that He works with us. I like the fact that He's patient with His people. I like the fact that with us, He sees us where we're at and He works with us from that place and He brings us to the image and the stature of the and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the fact that when the righteous fall, God picks them back up again. And He strengthens them by the power of the Spirit to continue on the journey. I like the fact that He's speaking His word this day powerfully into the lives of those that listen. I like the fact that He's not finished with us. You know, sometimes people with other people, they're like, I don't want to have anything to do with that person. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But God is not finished with us. He's refining and perfecting. And as we're going along the way too, and as He's doing this work in us, He's also using us as ministers and agents and ambassadors for the kingdom of God. So Kumari's testimony this morning is one of somebody that was doing a work and witnessing the gospel, but also God doing a work in her at the same time. So that's really the way with all of God's people. You're outside of Jesus Christ, and even Him, God took 30 years before He launched Him into ministry. You look through and all of God's servants had issues. All of God's servants had problems. All of God's people had stuff that they were overcoming. So be patient with one another. Love one another. Love covers over a multitude of issues. I say sins of the issues, problems, things you're dealing with. Because we are going to have to live in the love of God more and more in the days ahead. And we are going to have to give allowance for other people's humanity, not for sin, but for people's humanity and mistakes, because of the fact that we in the body of Christ need one another. In the body of Christ, there is something in someone else that I need, because Christ is flowing through them into my life, and there's something in my life that is necessary for the body of Christ that they will receive if I am faithful to the position God has for me. So the main thing is that we stay faithful to the place where God has us and has placed us, and always remain in connection into the head so that you can be moved wherever else He has for you. Did you notice that when Jesus was alive, He was always moving? You don't see Jesus staying in one place for very long. I mean, even as a baby, they're taking Him out of Jerusalem and getting Him into Egypt.
Jerusalem
And so that's why Jesus was always telling people, look, come and follow me, because I'm not staying here, I'm moving. Have you ever, when you walk somewhere with somebody, what changes? What's the thing that changes and what's the thing that remains the same? Don't overanalyze, just think of it. If you're going somewhere with someone, what's the thing that changes and what's the thing that remains the same? The places change, but the company remains the same. So He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our company has never changed. The one that speaks to us has never changed. The voice that He has and that resonates in our spirit has remained consistent as we follow Him. But the environment has changed. The journey has been different, ups and downs and turning around. Crisis, problems, high mountaintop experiences. The valleys of despair. Nights where you've cried big crocodile tears just coming down all over the face. You know, I remember when kids, big bubbles. We have it all. We have the whole experience of life. The whole experience of life, but in the experience of life, Christ has remained the same with us through and through. And I think of that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And that's why too, when we see in Matthew 28 where Jesus said, "Look, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." Or basically in his words was, "Lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." But right before that he said, "Go into all," it's a moving group. It's the people that are moving with him, he's with them. So we're on the way with Christ Jesus. We're on this journey with the Spirit of God. Okay, so John 16 and verse 31. Let's say. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay, do you now believe? Do you now believe? Okay, so a really, really sweet young Dutch girl in Holland, Sri Lankan background, has epileptic fits, demonic attacks, and has a scoliosis of the spine, and now God delivers her from demonic attacks. So God delivers her from demonic attacks, straightens her spine, puts strength in her legs so she can walk. And does this in front of the entire world. Do you now believe? Or next time that you have a problem, do you now wonder where God went? Do you now believe? You know, you think Jesus, all of the miracles that Jesus did, He did so many different things, and now before the disciples, He's getting close to the end of His ministry here. And verse 32 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." So despite all of the things that had come before, and everything that they had experienced over 3 years of ministry, now think about this. Walking on water, feeding 5,000, just the men alone, so it's women, children, everything, 20,000, you know, if they counted like they do these days, it probably, they say hundreds and lakhs of people. How many healings? How many regenerations of limbs and eyes and ears and noses and feet and legs? Peter, being Jesus telling him, "Look, go toss your line in the water, grab a fish, coin inside of his mouth." Has anyone fishing here ever found? No. So living in the miraculous presence of the Son of God for those years, and all of the things that they experienced up until that point, but when the trial of life became so strong and the fire of life came and tested the quality of their work, in that hour they fell apart. In that hour of despair, in that hour of trial, in that hour of testing, their faith failed them. Now there was something though that changed at Pentecost. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and gave them the power to be a witness. They were changed. The realization before and after is this. Before, in their best efforts in their humanity, they could not do it. See, there was enough decisive, definitive proof that this man is the Son of God. There was enough of a conclusion of the matter that this is the Messiah walking here in the midst of us.
Yeah.
And yet when that came into a clash with their own humanity, they could not stand. And that's why when Jesus told them in Acts 1, look, after the resurrection, look, stay in Jerusalem until you get the power. Because you need the power of God to be a witness. You need the Spirit of God to be flowing through you so that you are able to speak the truth and live the truth. And it won't do to have anything less. You can hang out around Jesus. You can go to the meetings. You can be there for every revival service. You can be part of the feeding program. I'm just going through miracles of Jesus in my head right now. And at the end of the day, Jesus won't leave you, you'll leave Him. Do you notice that Jesus said here, He said, "Is now the time is coming and now has come, ye shall be scattered every man to his own and shall leave me alone." See, Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So who's the one that walks away? Who's the one that leaves God? Who's the one that at the end of the day turns their back on the truth? So why do people get mad at God? Why do people get upset with God? Old Testament, He said, "All day long I've stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people." He stretches forth His hand, He reaches out for those that He's called according to His purpose, and they turn and walk away. And they walk back to an empty life, an empty reality, an empty shell. And there is no peace, there is nothing there. Peter, when he had the realization that he had denied Christ 3 times like Jesus told him he would, he wept bitterly. I think part of the reason why he wept like that was, one, he realized his own limitation. That with everything that he was and all that he intended, that he and his thought of his love for God, he couldn't do it. But I think part of it too was the fact that he knew that where he had gone now didn't have the presence of God, didn't have Jesus. And the reality of knowing the presence of God and then now knowing that he was not going to have that, it is a horrible reality when it finally hits you. But Jesus said, "Yet I am not alone because my Father is with me." Okay, now superimpose this on your life. So now Christ leaves the world and we are now ambassadors of Christ in the world with the Spirit of God in us. So now we stand here in as his representatives. So Jesus said before, he's like, look, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. So okay, so I realize, all right, you're standing now as a representative for God, an ambassador for Christ. The world hates you. Oh, look, it hated the one that sent me in the first place. So no problem, no issue. Jesus told me. Jesus warned you ahead of time. He let you know. Okay, now when people leave you, when people walk away from you, despite all that God has done with and through you, so the Spirit of God flowing through you, the life of God in you, and you have blessed and you have been a blessing. God has used your life and used you to do so much, and it's been Him, and you recognize it's Him. And now in the hour of testing, now in the hour of trial, when you needed them the most, you know, there's times where you really feel like, now is when I need a friend. When everything's going well, it's nice to have friends. But there's an hour of despair when you need a friend. There's an hour of trial where you just want someone there that understands. Jesus said, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. That's something that we have in Christ Jesus that the world will never know. When we walk with the Spirit of God, He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, He will always be with you. And you can trust that promise. You can trust that. That's one of the many, many, many blessings, but a huge one in the kingdom of God. I walk through this, I keep hearing these old hymns in my head too. No, never alone. You know that one? No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised to never leave me, never to leave me alone. I won't subject you to my singing. But Jesus promised to never leave you, never forsake you. Okay, with that realization, and with the realization too, that people will leave you. Understand that they leave you because of a limitation in their walk in the Spirit as well. As much as they may love you with a brotherly love, and as much as they recognize that all that's been done before has been done by the Spirit of God, because they do not have the empowering of the Spirit of God flowing through them, they hit that wall of limitation.
ගේ සුදන්න වහන්සේගේ ආත්මේ බලාගෙන යන්නේ නැති නිසා ඔවුන් මේ මනිකන් තාපයට ඇවිල්ලා කෙරවලකට වදිනවා වගේ ඒ සීමාවට ඔවුන් පත් වෙනවා.
And in the time of trial, in the time of testing, they do fall away.
ඉතින් ඒ සෝදිසි කීීමේ කාලය තුලදී ඔවුන් වැටලා යනවා.
But when that happens, you must know and you must hold on to the resolution and the fact that Christ is with you. And no matter what, persist in the journey, persist in the truth. But the blessing of this dispensation that we live in right now is there will be those that God has that will stand with you. The blessing right now, this dispensation, this time we live in right now, is there will be those that God has that stand with you. See, there's a time of the wilderness experience that all of us have. It's required, it's mandatory training that all servants of God have. It's discipleship 101. You know, when you go to university in the States, first classes that everyone has, titled 101. The numbers. It's the first class that you have to have. And so students have to take this one to move on to the next level with God. So you will have the wilderness experience. We will have seasons of despair. This is part of God's training with you. This is how God is bringing you to a place where so much is stripped off of your life and you realize your need for Him, your dependency of Him, and His faithfulness to you in whatever situation you're in. See, we've talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world many times. The kingdom of this world, the people there are petrified to ever be alone. Do you notice that? Do you notice that they can't be alone for a moment? If you put one of them in solitary confinement, it kills them. In the prisons, if you put them in solitary confinement, it'll kill them. I mean, they can't take just that break from the collective. They can't stand it. Whereas if you read the stories of so many of the faithful servants of God, if they put them in solitary confinement, it was such a blessing for them. Because now they finally had a place where now it was just them and God, and they would spend days in the presence of God just enjoying Him. Because the way the world works, it won't work on you. And the way you work will not work in the world. We function differently. We live differently. That which blesses us doesn't bless them. And that which they use to perpetuate their system for us, we don't want to have anything to do with it. See, they must function in a collective. Because in order for what they have to be sustained, they must as a group believe the lie. So I say that again. In order for them to, for what they have to function, they must as a group believe the lie. Okay, for example, this stand right here, if all of you said it was cement, but in fact it's wood. The truth is it's wood. And so if everyone said it's cement, it's cement, it's cement. And anytime you said, no, wait, this is wood, this is wood. They're like, no, cement, what do you think you're saying? It's cement. Everyone knows it's cement. What's the truth? Truth is it's wood. I think it's wood. No, it's wood. It's wood. So the people of God are like that. We know the truth, and the truth has made us free. But the fact that we exist, we expose the lie for what it is. The fact that we exist, we expose the lie for what it is just by our existence. So the fact that we exist, somewhere, somehow, the fact that we exist and we show this is not cement and that it's actually wood, it now, it drives them crazy. But ultimately what's happening right now is the lies cannot be sustained. You know, I have a good friend in one time he told me, he said, you know, when you lie, he said, you know what? He said, I am not smart enough to lie. Because he said, when you lie, you have to remember what you said last time. And he says, you have to then build on it the next time. And then he says, eventually, he's like, I can't keep up with all the other stuff. So he's like, I just know it's much better for me just to tell the truth. So when you lie, you have to always remember what you said last. But when you speak the truth, you know what? You never have to remember what you said. When you live and speak the truth, you can just speak the truth. So if anyone wants to refer to it, it's true, it still remains. Okay, flip back to John 8. Just flip back a few pages. And verse 44. And verse 44 says, and Jesus speaking to the Pharisees of the day, he said, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your fathers, your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 44. So the devil is the father of all lies. And those that serve him are children, children of the devil are also liars. Okay, what's happening now in the world? If we look at the global situation taking place right now, financial markets across the world, what's happening? The lies are coming unraveled. They're falling apart. It was never true in the first place. But all of these people believed that this was cement. All of these people put all of their service into building this cement thing. They all said, this is it, this is true, this is right, this is the system, this is the way to go. And Jesus, in the Proverbs, where God said that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death, they said, no, there's a way that seems right unto a man, and the end is life for us. They said there's a way that seems right to us, and the end, we have a life. But now the testing is coming. Now the storm of life is coming. Now it's coming to bear on life in this world in a very strong way globally. And the truth of the Word of God remains true. There is a way that seems right unto man, but if you are detached from the Spirit of God in your walk and that which you do, there in the end is death. There's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So now, when you see globally these things happen, where people are left with nothing, it's because when the storm of life came, it revealed the foundation for what it was. See, now for the children of God, now for the people of God, the Word will be shown and revealed for being true. Because you remember for Joseph as well, when it talks about Joseph, even that there came a time where the Word of God showed itself true with him. God had spoken to him, God had said something to him, God had showed him something, but he went through his trial and his test, but eventually that Word came true and full in his life. And God raised him up as someone that would save and help to save the whole nation of Egypt and his own people as well. So in the day that we live in now, you will see the Word of God true. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now in the day that we live in, the truth of God is being manifest. So for example, seek first the kingdom and God will take care of your needs. Okay, now put that over on the world. You don't seek first the kingdom of God, find your own provision. Oh, you're going to go back to the father of lies and expect him to take care of you now? You know, the only reason they will try to keep the world system going at all at a time where it's completely broken, you know the only reason? I mean, it's broken, it's finished, it can't work. But the only reason that they will try to keep it going and limping along is because if, and they may or may, I don't know, they may or may not, we'll see, but the reason is because complete and total collapse, people may in fact turn to God. As long as they believe that this is cement, as long as they believe the lie, and there's enough of them believing the lie, people keep from truth. So they have to make sure that they surround people with enough to give them a powerful delusion. But God is reaching out to those that are His, and in the midst of this you will see people's eyes open and them come to Christ. See, that's why it's not a bad thing when we experience difficulty in this life. Because back to John 16 verse 33, Jesus said, In the world ye shall have tribulation. In this world ye shall have tribulation. You're guaranteed trouble. Okay, good to know. Good to know. I appreciate knowing that I am going to have some difficulty, some trial, some tribulation while I'm here in this life. And I also appreciate knowing exactly how to handle anything and everything that comes my way. Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Another place it says, consider it pure joy. So our attitude in the difficulties we face, praise God. Thank God. Thank God that you have a deliverer, a redeemer, a helper in whatever you may face. We don't trust in the arm of flesh to save us. Our hope is in the living God. He is the one that's with us. He is the one that never leaves us. He is the one that never forsakes us. And in Isaiah 9 verse 6-7, of the increase of His government and His peace there shall be no end. Isaiah 9. So As the world melts down, you be of good cheer. As you experience trial and tribulation and testing in your own life, you praise God. And like Jesus said, in the Word, like it says, be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication make your request known to God. Bring it, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And with that, we are definitely out of time, so we'll stop there for today. I spit fire on the microphone. The devil is a liar, and we make it known. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, forever on the throne. Hey yo, it's like fire, shut up in my bones. So I spit fire on the microphone. The devil is a liar, and we make it known. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, forever on the throne.